You know, one of the great gifts that God gives his children is purpose. There are so many people in the world that have no purpose, or their purpose is such a shallow purpose, and we're so thankful that God gives purpose to his children. We're thankful that God is giving you purpose. And one of the things that we learn in Scripture in Ephesians 2:10 is that we are God's workmanship. You know, God's a craftsman. And as a craftsman takes the materials that he's given and molds them into a fashion that is useful, God molds us into a fashion that is useful. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's what our purpose is. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, this is basically the subject of our proverb for today, for we are in Proverbs 11:25. Proverbs 11:25, and if you would turn there, in the King James Version, it reads this: the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Now, in our politically correct world, the word fat is no longer in vogue, and its use is suppressed, for it might cause a person who is gravitationally challenged or horizontally gifted to take offense. These are the explanations for what we used to call that kind of a person. But you know, we don't want to give offense. It's one of the worst things you can do today is to give offense. Of course, the Scriptures give offense all the time, do they not? You know, I take it to heart when the Scriptures call me a sinner and that all my works are as filthy rags. I take offense. But you know, you may take offense, but that offense is good for you because it reveals to you what you are. But it seems our culture has declared war on fat. We're careful to examine the labels on food packages lest we get a little fat in our diet. All kinds of warnings fill the airwaves about fat ruining your health, causing heart problems, and possibly even leading to an early death, for high cholesterol, which is tied to fat intake, can kill. You know, I was raised on whole milk. Goodness gracious. You know, that was child abuse. But whole milk, which is full of fat, is so delicious. We have 2% milk. My son uses 1% milk. Can you imagine that? But we get low-fat milk, we get low-fat butter, meats, low-fat everything, even no fat. Fat is not good, we are told. But you know, I remember when meat used to taste a lot better than it does today, because nowadays the fat has been reduced. Even the cows have been put on a diet. But when was the last time that you had a really tasty pork chop? Well, you must have put stuff on it. Or a juicy pork roast. Without the fat, pork tastes bland and sometimes dry. You know, Perhaps, as is usually the case about diet, we have gone overboard about fat. We always, you know, that's one thing about human beings. We're pendulums. One thing about it, when we get to heaven, we're going to be steady. But down here on earth, we're simply pendulums going from one side to another. This is bad, we've got to adjust, and then we adjust and we go further this way. And then we adjust and go back this way. Hard to find the middle ground, is it not? Now, the other controversial word in our proverb is the word liberal. Ooh, liberal. In some circles, you say liberal, and it's like cussing. In conservative circles, the word liberal is anathema, for it describes those from the left in contrast to those from the right. But today, the word liberal describes an ideology, a set of beliefs. It used to be that the word liberal was a non-ideological word, for in days gone by, it simply described a giver or the act of giving. That's what it used to mean, a giver or the act of giving. It still means that, but today's liberal is not a giver of their own things, but a giver of someone else's things. The liberal of today is good about seeing a need. They see needs all over the place. And the tears come down as waterfalls. But instead of reaching into his own wallet, he reaches into your wallet to satisfy the need. That's today's liberal. But you know, there are handling fees in the transaction that have to be extracted, so all the money taken goes to satisfy two needs. The need of the needy and the need of the liberal, which will wipe away his tears. You know, and what? And get him reelected, if you're talking about politicians. But you know, it's amazing how generous you can be with other people's money and other people's resources. I'd be glad to help you with your need. Give me some money. You know, it's amazing how generous you can be. But it's so easy to be a giver of this sort, for it costs you nothing, and on the contrary, may result in great gain to the giver. You know, it's amazing how in modern days, people look for a flow of money. And they get into that flow. They figure out some way to get into your pocket on a monthly basis. You think about 50 years ago, how many monthly bills you had, and today how many monthly bills you have. It's a whole expansion of monthly bills. But anyway, our culture has taken two good Bible words, liberal and fat, and corrupted them, but they are still good Bible words. And if the Bible says for you to be liberal and for you to be fat, you ought to want to be liberal and fat, for according to the Scriptures, liberal and fat are good things. Now, the word liberal, as used in this proverb, is from a Hebrew word meaning benediction, which means the act of blessing. You think about benediction in connection with church services or prayer at the table, but it's a broader word than that. It is more than a prayer of thanks for food, but it means the being of a blessing. It means being a giver. Being a giver. So this proverb is not talking about a person who believes in giving your money away for welfare or establishing government programs. It is talking about a person, a soul, by the way, a soul who is a walking blessing. He or she is a blessing soul, a soul who by his or her action blesses others. That's what we're talking about here when we're talking about a liberal person. This soul is a blessing to be around. And this soul's presence causes others to increase. You know, it's so easy to desire increase on your part. But you know, God has a different way of increasing you than the world has of increasing you. The world says, take, and you'll be increased. And God says, give, and you'll be increased. You know, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Now, how does fat enter the picture? How does this soul of blessing become fat? What is a fat soul? Have you ever seen a fat soul? You know, it's funny. God looks at us, and he sees this big, 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 big soul. Look at that fat soul, he says. Oh, I love a fat soul. And then he sees another person so skinny. That poor soul needs to fatten up. You see, that's what God sees when he looks at us. He doesn't see this body. He sees our soul. And he says, boy, that soul over there has been on a diet. Oh, that soul has been dining at my table of feasting. Look at how fat that soul is. So a fat soul has nothing to do with the appearance of the body. The picture given here is of a soul who continually is a blessing to those around him or her. A fat soul is a giver-outer. But by being a giver-outer, something comes back to him, and that something is what the Bible calls fat. You see, you give out, and God gives you fat. Oh, it's so tasty. It brings back the taste in the meat of life. This word fat is from the same Hebrew word translated to anoint, to set apart. It also means to be satisfied. You know, it's wonderful to be satisfied in life. Another word is content. You know, picture a person enjoying a fine meal and eating until heart's content. Sometimes we do too much of that. But he's satisfied. Sits down at the meal. The wife has prepared a great meal and the table is set so beautifully. He's satisfied. He pushes himself back from the table. He sets himself apart from the table because he is satisfied. He is anointed from the table because he is fat from the meal. He even rubs his belly. Oh, that was so good. Have you ever done that, fellas? I think fellas do that more than women. I don't see too many women saying, oh, that was so good. Oh, just relish that. But he's so satisfied. He's content. And you know, it even gets to the point where he unbuckles his belt. You know, I never used to do that when I was a young man. But I got to do it now. I eat a big meal and, well, I got to unbuckle that belt. I just don't have any room for all that. My muscles don't keep it in. So the liberal soul, the soul of blessing, the giver-outer is a set-apart one, a satisfied one. He does not wonder if he is doing God's will. You know, if you know you're doing God's will, you're satisfied. He is satisfied because he is committed to being a liberal soul, a soul of blessing, a giver outer instead of a taker inner. Because he is a giver outer, he is made fat and is happy about it. He does not go on a giver outer diet. He continues to be made fat. You know, God never calls for a fat soul to diet. Never does. The world calls for fat bodies to diet. But God says, just keep on getting as fat as you want. I love it. He continues to be made fat and does not try to be anything but fat. You know, it's good fat. And he intends for his soul to continue to be made fat because he loves the contentment and satisfaction that comes from being a liberal soul. You know, it's funny. It's funny how the body reacts to being a liberal soul versus being a stingy soul. You know, I think even the body acts in that manner. That old stingy person shrivels up. The liberal soul expands. Smile on his face. Contentment exudes from that person. He loves it, for he is performing just as Christ Jesus intended his workmanship to perform, for he knows that he has been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He's carrying out his purpose. Now, you builders, you chefs, you cooks in the kitchen, you ladies who make things in the sewing room, don't you love it when you're finished? And you look back on your workmanship and you say you make something for someone and they get it and it performs the way it was supposed to perform. Doesn't that bring delight to your soul? But he not only has that peace and contentment about him, but he also knows that the blessings that he bestows on others returns to him manyfold. That's the Bible way. Because, our proverb says, he that watereth shall be watered also himself. You know, as your Bible teacher, I personally know that if you water with the Word of God, hopefully you may get at least a little shower from the students, but I get a downpour. I am the one who studies and learns the lessons in preparation for watering you from the Word of God, which is designed to make you grow. So that waters me greatly with a downpour. Those who minister in this way, those who water in this way, are more refreshed by their own preparation than can ever be given in this short time of instruction. And I think you'll find that to be true by asking your pastors. They're more refreshed. But you know, this is the same principle expressed in Ecclesiastes 11:1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. You know, the lesson that God has for us here in this proverb is that God desires you to be a blessing to others, and he will be a blessing to you. You ever played with a yo-yo? What's the thing about a yo-yo? You push it out and always comes back. We used to have contests when we were kids. The yo-yo man would come to town. The yo-yo was big in those days, wasn't it, Phil? And he would show us how to do the tricks, and he would sell these fancy yo-yos and the strings and so on, and you could get a prize. But that yo-yo goes out and it comes back, and blessings are like this. You know, God may return your gift of blessing in a different form, and perhaps many days later, or that very day, you don't know. And it is not necessarily a one-to-one exchange. He gives you seeds for the soil, you give the soil water, and what does God give you? Flowers or tomatoes? You know, I think the flowers are quite a return on a few seeds, are they not? You know, that's our God. Just think about a few little seeds held in the palm of the hand, scattered in the soil, a little bit of water, and out comes this beautiful flower. My, what a return. Give away your bread, and you will get satisfaction in return. You know, you may give away bread, and God may choose to give you tasty, sweet cinnamon rolls. I'd rather have those than bread. But that's how God is. You can't outgive God. Teach others and you will be taught tenfold. God will surprise you with the variety of benefits and blessings He will return to you. But you know, we're supposed to give in faith according as we purpose in our heart. Our heart is supposed to be a blessing valve. We turn it on, we don't turn it off. You open it and close it according to your faith. We're not to give grudgingly. We're not to give out of necessity. We're not to give because someone makes us feel guilty if we don't. You know, there's no return on that except a loss of a guilty feeling. And you can't do anything to bless others with that return. You know, here God gives you a return, and what does He want you to do with it? Well, give out some more. Why does God give you a return of such vast increase? To give out some more. Be a good steward. And don't give with strings attached, expecting something in return from the one given to. You know, someone does you some good. Don't say, I owe you one. Then you take away from the purity of their giving. Let them be pure in their giving, and then let God return the gift. That takes faith, you know, to let God return the gift. And it'll be a much better return. It'll be a perfect gift that satisfies, the gift that makes fat, the gift that makes content. And your soul will be continually satisfied by doing God's will. Your soul will be fatter and fatter as you bless others in Christ's stead. You know, why are we here? Well, we're His workmanship. God has chosen you and God has chosen me to be His body on earth. Get that? Think about that. It's more than just a saying that we're the body of Christ. What does the body do? The body performs for the head. Does the head pound nails? No. The hand pounds nails with a hammer. The head can't pound nails. The body pounds the nails. But we're chosen to bless others for Christ. You know, when we bless others, Christ is blessing others. We're His hands, we're His feet, we're His mouth, we're His legs. He's chosen us to do that. Isn't that a privilege? To be His body on earth? And we're to give with that cheerful heart. God so loves a cheerful giver. You know, the beautiful thing about being a blessing is that it is not hard to make a difference in the life of others. Some people say, well, I don't have a lot of money. I just don't have anything to give. I don't have any way to be a blessing. Well, you know, you don't have to have any money to be a blessing. No one here is calling for you to pay off their mortgage. I'm sure they would like it, but nobody's saying, would you pay off my mortgage to be a blessing? No one here is saying, would you give me a few thousand dollars in order to be a blessing? No one's doing that. You know, I remember so well, this is all the way back in the 70s, the 1970s, and I used to go out on Saturday morning for the bus ministry, and my area was the Pace area, Pace Pea Ridge. That area was a lot less populated in those days. You could drive all the way from the light down here at, actually when we moved here, I don't even think there was a light on 89 at 90. But downtown, you could go from downtown, a red light all the way to Florida town, no lights in the 70s. And in those days, Dr. Hobbs would say, okay, you're going to have this bus ministry. There's the bus. Okay, that's a pretty big bus. Well, it's, you just drive it like you drive a car. No training. We were a lot looser, a lot freer in those days. Carrying strange kids in this big yellow bus, no training. That's the way it was. And it worked out okay. Never had an accident. But you know, I would go to the Pace area visiting homes, inviting children to church and Sunday school on our Sunday school bus. And one day it was a hot summer day, and I knocked on the door of an old house. All the houses in those days in Pace were old houses. This little old lady answered the door, and when I saw her, I says, well, there's no children here. But we passed the time with a short visit, and upon my leaving, upon my getting ready to go, she asked if I would like a drink of cold water. Boy, that sounded good to a thirsty soul. I immediately said yes, and as she went to get the water, I thought of that scripture where the Lord told his disciples in Mark 9:41, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. You know, I took that glass of water from the hand of that little old lady, and I took it as if it were from the hand of Christ. And I saw the little old lady's hand as it were the hand of Christ. Now that glass of water that lady gave me barely cost her nothing. But what a blessing it was to a soul who belonged to Christ. And God saw the heart of that dear lady, and God does not forget. He has it in his record book. The dear old lady gave a cup of cold water in my name to one of my own. You know, sometimes it's the little things that really help energize a person's day. What seems trivial to you may really help out a person in need. You know, it doesn't take much to send a note of thanks or appreciation to those who cross your path. Have you ever told a person who smiles how much you enjoy their smile? Boy, that'll bring a smile again. You know, that won't cost you a thing. You don't have to have any money to tell a person how much you enjoy their smile. You know, if you grow flowers or vegetables or plants, how about thinking of sharing them with others? We have folks in the church that do that, and that's a joy. Don't think about keeping their things, but they give it out. If you have firewood and somebody needs firewood, you got a lot of firewood. There's the man. Be nice to Bill. If you're going to Pensacola, how about calling a neighbor to see if they need anything picked up? Boy, that would be a real help, wouldn't it? Wouldn't take much to go out of your way to pick that up. What does it cost to visit the nursing home or the hospital? Perhaps the doctor's office could use your old magazines and you could put several tracts in each magazine. You know, you can sneak them in there. They don't care. I bring them to the doctors all the time. Put a tract in there. Surprise someone. Have you read a good book? Where is the book now? Is it on the shelf collecting dust? Well, how about sharing it with others rather than just letting it sit? Do you open doors for others? Do you greet people as you pass them in the store or on the street? You know, there are not many smiles in the aisles at Winn-Dixie. You go in there and unfortunately people, you know, loaded down with burdens. But you know, you can lessen the scarcity of smiles by actually smiling at someone. You know, I like to go out and I like to call the checker by her name. They always have a name tag. And I call them by their name. Sometimes I get it mixed up because it's kind of an odd name. But don't you suppose that makes it more personal? Are you a good fixer? What about keeping your ear to the ground and hear what is broken at your neighbor's house? You know, that can be a real witness to the neighbor. You find that your neighbor's screen door is broken or the screen is broken and you can help. Jesus instructed us in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see what? Your good works. And glorify your Father, which is in heaven." How can they see any good works if you fail to do good works before them? You know, the old idea was to go up and buttonhole someone and witness to them and walk away. Well, that doesn't do any good. You got to love them. And good works may tell them you love them. Your good works may be what God uses to open a door of witness. You know, maybe, ladies, you're talented in sewing. Well, get out that sewing machine and offer to hem your friend's dress. What about children who knock on the door and they're selling a candy bar for a cause? Are you liberal that way? You know, I know most things are overpriced, but how are you going to help the cause if they're not overpriced? And if you're praying for someone, it doesn't hurt to tell them that you prayed for them this morning. If I hear someone say, "I prayed for you," blesses my heart. Blesses my heart. Because I know others are thinking. You know, what about telling your pastors how much you appreciate them? When was the last time you walked out the door having blessings in your heart, but keeping them there? Does it hurt you to say to the pastor, "Why, I really was blessed by that"? And then perhaps even telling them why you were blessed. You know, I could ask our pastors, what percentage of you give them any comment whatsoever regarding their preaching? But I'm afraid the answer might be embarrassing. We do so tend to think that what others do for us is their duty and needs no expression of gratitude. You may say, "Well, doesn't the giving of my tithe express my thanks?" If you need encouragement at times, don't you suppose others do also? It does not cost anything to be a liberal encourager. You know, I know this sounds strange, but God wants you to get into the habit of being liberal. That's strange, isn't it? He wants you to get into the habit of being a giver-outer instead of a taker-inner. He wants you to strive to be fat. You tell him that your Sunday school teacher told you to be fat. But that's what God wants us to strive to be. He wants you to strive to be liberal, but make it fat and liberal according to the Bible. You know, I love that song that says, "Make me a blessing," which goes this way. Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. My, you see it around. You see it at the stores. You see it in their faces. Such a busy, hectic life we live. But out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife. Make the sorrowing glad. And then the refrain says, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. O Savior, I pray, make me a blessing to someone today. You know, I think we ought to incorporate that in our prayer each day. And then say, Lord, how can I be a blessing today? And I think the Lord will remind you, here's an opportunity. Here's a way to do it. And you know, in all of those things, you can become a witness for Christ. Your good works precede you and open the door to a word of witness. Father, thank you so much for giving us the scriptures. Lord, help us to be liberal souls, not taker-inners, but giver-outers. And help us, Lord, to see needs around that we can satisfy. Might just take a smile. Might just take a word of encouragement. It might just take a pat on the back. But help us, Lord, to always be a blessing to others, that we might be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.